The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's May the 6th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Harry Cooney from GrowMark will join us to take up the energy markets. In the agricultural news, the farm bill is done and could be voted on later this week. And 24 Republican senators have written EPA asking for the renewable fuel standards to be waived. More details later on these stories. Also in this half hour, we'll hear about planting progress across the Corn Belt. NAST statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, and Minnesota will have updates. And in just about 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So you should stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Taking a look now at what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures. May contract on a Tuesday afternoon in the wheat pit in Chicago, $8.06, up 13.5. July futures, 8.18, up 12.5. And September at 8.32, 12.25 higher. May corn futures at 5.94¾, up 12¾ for the afternoon. And July at 6.06¼, up 12¼. September corn, $6.16, 11.5 higher. And December futures at 6.23½, up 10¾ for the day. May soybean futures at $12.64½, down 8½. July down 9 at 12.77. And the August at 12.70, down 8½. September futures, 5 cents lower at $12.42½. And November soybeans at $12.17½, up 2 cents for the day. June live cattle futures, $91.82½, 62½ higher. The August futures at $97.82½, up 35 cents for the day. And the May feeder cattle at $105.55, 30 cents higher. August futures at $108.20. Down a nickel on the afternoon. May lean hog futures 76.82½, $1.85 higher, and the June futures there at $74.75 a hundredweight. Finish the day $1.55 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, a land-grant institution. Here's what the outside markets look like on this Tuesday afternoon. June crude oil futures for the day, $121.75 a barrel. The last trade up $1.78. July futures at $121.18, up $1.71 for the day. June ethanol futures at $2.54¾, up 3¾. July futures at $2.49¼, up 2¼ today. Natural gas futures now trading at 11¼¼. Down 3¾ for the day. July futures at $11.27¼, down 4¼ on the afternoon. Propane futures 169¼ for the day, 55¼ higher, five and five-tenths higher for the day. And the gold futures are trading at $876 now, $3.70 higher. June futures at $877.70, up $3.60. The CRB index at 418.47 is up 4.61. The dollar is down 0.23 at 72.95. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average for the afternoon is currently trading at 13,021. It's just about 52 points higher for the day. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region. From our own Mike Sola, he says tonight partly to mostly cloudy across Illinois and Indiana. Scattered showers, some thunderstorms in Illinois. Isolated areas of rain in Indiana. Lows will range from 54 in the eastern part of Indiana to 62 in the southern part of that state. Tomorrow, cloudy, showers, a few thunderstorms with locally heavy rainfall possible. Highs will range from 66 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to near 80 in the southern part of Indiana. Rain will end across the area on Thursday evening, with the next storm system expected to arrive on Sunday. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for being on hand. What did you make of yesterday's reports from USDA and the crop progress? They came in just about where people suspected, at least it was we started the weekend, but Monday they were hoping maybe there was a little more corn planted than the 27% it showed.
I think that Monday and Tuesday we made tremendous progress here in the eastern Midwest, Todd. But that was as of Sunday, not as of Monday and Tuesday. And I think that a lot of them were trying to anticipate that or figure in that that was going to be there. Still a lot of problems out west in Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and parts of Illinois where it's still a little bit slow, Todd. So, there's a lot of ground that I'm glad I'm not in that area right now.
Corn futures, a gainer on the soybeans today.
Yeah, we had sort of a disappointing overnight trade when you looked at that 27% number, when a lot of them were saying it could be 30 to 34 yesterday, and 27 being, even that 3% under that. So we were a little bit surprised this morning. We opened as hard as we did and shot on up in both the corn and the beans, but not able to hold our gains into the close, Todd. A little bit of nervousness and profit-taking before we see how Argentina votes on whether they want to strike or not, or if they do actually vote this afternoon or just talk a little more.
And then let's take up some of the reports that will be due out this Friday. We're taking a look at the ending stocks for the 07-08 year and for the 08-09 year. Average trade estimates for this year on corn now put the ending stocks at 1.311 billion bushels, this according to Reuters, and then next year at just a mere 685 million bushels. For the end of the coming marketing year, and that number just seems really low. Soybeans now at 152 at the end of this year, and a 270 number, a growing number for the end of next year. Where do you stand on those figures?
Well, I think that the corn numbers we have to it's a big if out there as for what we're going to have, considering when is Iowa going to get planted. I think that we're in pretty good shape here in most of Indiana and lost a lot of Illinois in the areas now. And, I don't think we have to worry so much about planting dates being here before the 15th of May. But out in Iowa and Minnesota and that could throw the pull the average yield for the country down a little bit, and we could have a little problem with the corn yields there. And also, what sort of summer weather are we going to have, Todd? So, that's a big if out there. And I think as far as this year's carryout in the beans, I think as long as the problems continue in Argentina, that number could be reduced a little bit for the carryover from this year.
If you'd like to see those numbers for yourself, you can do them online. They're posted there. Dave Dickey has dropped them up on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. I know you're in the field and you're working hard, but when you get a little rain delay, you might go visit that website and listen to this program, other ag programming that is there, and take a look at those numbers. They're in the tab that's marked USDA Reports. What else are we talking to farmers about today?
Well, I think that, we are looking at the idea that they are getting out there, they are getting done. We are in our area, a lot of farmers are taking an extra 80, an extra 100, an extra 200, an extra 300 acres and continuing to plant corn, looking at the ratio between the corn and the beans here now. And the lot of talk about somehow trying to lock in these prices and this differential on the extra acres that they're planting. So we're seeing a lot of interest in probably trying to either buy some puts or do some hedging on this corn somewhere in the D's over the 625 bracket.
Those extra acres, is that because they got through the process and they went ahead and decided to make the run? Or had they done that sometime in April and March and made the decision and already booked corn for it?
No. That is decisions being made in the last 3 to 5 days.
Decisions from the tractor cab, right?
Yes.
So that could have a pretty good impact, I suppose, unless Iowa doesn't come through and plant as many acres as they are expected to. And if the rainfall continues, I suppose that could happen, too.
I think that's part of the idea is we'll be making up some of the acres that will be lost in the western Corn Belt, here in the eastern Corn Belt in some areas, Todd.
And then anything to add on the livestock or the outside markets? I think
hey, hogs had a nice rebound here today. We're always glad to see that. It looked like we had sort of a reversal in the cattle. You know, and with these corn prices, we've got to keep these livestock prices up there a little bit and keep our meat industry in business. So it was nice to see a little turnaround over in the livestock, Todd.
Did you see that?
And, of course, the crazy crude, as we'll call it, you know, we're just barely under 122 here now. A barrel, Goldman Sachs making the comment they look for $150 to $200 within the next 12 months. Very inflationary.
Boy, that's that is a high price. I think the last time we heard a number like that, it was $105 a barrel, wasn't it, from Lloyd's of London, I think?
Yeah, it was just getting around the $100, not the $200 level, and we thought that was ridiculous, and it has been as far as our economy has went, but to double that again is just going to be very harmful to the economy.
We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In today's agricultural news, Iowa Senator Tom Harkin says the Farm Bill conferees have finished their job. The legislation could move to the House and Senate floors later this week and then on to the president's desk for his signature or a veto. If the latter is the case, North Dakota Senator Kent Conrad complains it won't be easy to guide a two-year extension of the current Farm Bill through Congress. He says they'll open it up and try to make some interesting, even controversial, amendments to the existing legislation. And two dozen Republican senators, including presidential hopeful John McCain, have jumped into the fray surrounding ethanol, writing to Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Stephen Johnson, requesting the waiving of the renewable fuel standards. They claim it is responsible for the increase in food prices, despite several studies and economists that show other factors as the major culprit for rising food prices. This comes, of course, on the heels of requests by Texas and Connecticut for waiver of ethanol blending requirements. Senate Ag Chair Tom Harkin, a Democrat of Iowa we've heard about already, says that rising food prices are a concern around the globe, but the attempt to persuade the EPA to halt ethanol is without merit. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm your host, University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. USDA yesterday afternoon released the latest crop progress report. It shows 27% of the corn has been planted around the nation. Last year, that number was 45% on the same date, and the five-year rolling average is 59%. Corn emerge now stands at 4%. Last year, it was 12%, and the five-year rolling average stands at 17%. On the soybean side of the equation, just about 5% of the crop is in the ground now. Last year, that number was at 8%. And the rolling five-year average from 2003 to 2007 is 14%. Now, here are some state statisticians to take up existing conditions in their regions.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 4, 2008. Overall, farmers increased their time planting corn and oats despite periods of rain and threats of rain. Drier conditions prevailed in the western one-third of Iowa, while the central and eastern sections of the state continued to struggle with standing water in fields and cold soil temperatures. Northwest Iowa was able to plant over one-third of their expected corn acreage last week. West central Iowa planted over 30%, and southwest Iowa planted 20% of their expected corn acreage. There were 2.7 days suitable for field work last week, compared to 3.1 days last year at this time. Corn is 18% planted, behind last year and a five-year average of 42% and 64%, respectively. Corn planting is 11 days behind a five-year average. Fertilizer application is 77% complete, which is 10 percentage points behind last year and 14 percentage points behind the five-year average. Again, this has been Brad Parks with USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Thanks.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 4th. Some relief came last week with moderate temperatures accompanied with below normal precipitation, allowing nearly 4 days suitable for field work. Corn planting advanced by 22 percentage points last week and is currently at 28% complete, trailing last year's 62% and the five-year average of 76%. When doing the math, 22% of this year's crop equates to nearly 2.8 million acres planted in just 4 days. 1% of the corn crop was reported emerged, compared with 22% 1 year ago and 33% for the five-year average. Leading the state in corn planting progress was the East Southeast Crop Reporting District at 45%, while the Northwest Crop Reporting District trailed all others at 14% planted. And one last thing I wanted to comment on was the warm-up in the 4-inch bare soil temperatures, which averaged from 50 degrees in the north to 56 degrees in the southern reaches of the state. This warm-up should help the corn to germinate in a timely manner. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending May 4th, 2008. Unseasonably cool temperatures and wet weather held on again this week, with most areas 6 to 8 degrees below normal. Corn planted made progress and was at 31% complete. This is still behind last year and 4 days behind the average. Soybean planting was underway and ahead of last year but behind the average. Winter wheat conditions are rated 66% good or excellent. Wheat jointed was 11 days behind the average at 25%. Oats planted is 8 days behind the five-year average and is a week and a half behind in emerging. Alfalfa conditions are at 66% good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions came in at 64% good or excellent. Spring calving is nearing completion with mostly average calf losses. This has been Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 4th, 2008. Cool temperatures and wet soils continued to limit spring field work across much of the state. On average, there were 1.8 days suitable for field work during the week. As of May 4th, land preparation and plantings for corn and soybeans remained well behind the five-year average for that date. The average temperature for the week was 43.1 degrees, 7.4 degrees below normal. As of Sunday, May 4th, land prepared for corn planting was 17% complete, compared to 69% last year, and 78% for the five-year average. Land prepared for soybean planting was 4% complete, compared to 22% last year, and 28% average. Spring wheat was 19% planted, compared to 61% last year, and 64% average. Oats were 28% planted, compared to 65% last year, and 75% average. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending May 4th, 2008. I'm Dan Loftus with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Harry Cooney of GrowMark. He analyzes the energy markets there and will do so this afternoon with us. Thanks, Harry, for being with us today.
Yes, good afternoon, Todd. It looks like finally a nice day out there to get a lot of field work done.
Oh, well, I hope so. There is so much going on in the energy markets. We have a lot of ground to cover quickly. Let's start with the Goldman Sachs recommendations this morning, and then we'll work our way through the rest of it.
Right. Well, Goldman Sachs came out overnight and talking about a new super spike in crude oil prices to $150 or $200 over the next 6 to 12 months. And what adds a little validity to the Goldman Sachs numbers is that when crude was at about $50 or $60 here a year or two ago, they talked about a spike to $105, and it seemed crazy at the time. But, of course, it's come true. So now when they're saying $150 to $200, it did bring in another round of buying here today. And Crude oil closed $1.88 higher to a new all-time high of 121.
I stand corrected. I said earlier, I was thinking that was Lloyd's of London that made that $105 call earlier. But one way or the other, it was somebody
right.
who did it.
right. And so that got traders going overnight. And some of the talk is that maybe the rally of the last couple of days where crude oil came up from 110 up to 120, maybe some of that was already leaking out, some of that report to some traders, as was also a report that came out over the weekend from the Saudi Arabian officials that their output now may not be able to reach the levels of crude oil output that they have been talking. And so I think that's in the background here also of the bullish traders' minds.
And this should take some pressure, I would think, off Washington, D.C. to roll back the mandates on ethanol, simply because this is not driven by a food v. fuel sort of problem, I would think. Is that right?
Well, that's right. I mean, this is a supply and demand. Even though there's a lot of people in the country and so talking about the fact that this was all a speculative driven market, that this was all a war premium or so, it seems like that when we dig into it more and more, we're finding out that this is just a tight supply-demand-driven market, and there are a lot of speculators in there, but there's when you look at the balance sheets, the potential for the peaking out, and we've talked about this before on the program, the peaking out of the world oil production here at the same time that demand is continuing to grow in the world, that is. And, when you have those two things going on at the same time, obviously it makes for some interesting prices.
And these new contract highs, new spike highs in the crude market have come at an interesting time when the U.S. dollar actually is strengthening, too.
That's right. The dollar has been trying to go up some, and every time it tries to rally, they sell it back off, so it's kind of consolidating in here. There's been talk that the dollar is going to try to change trend here in 2008 and begin a rally. Overall, when we look at the price trends of the dollar right now, it's still locked in a downtrend, even though, Todd, at times you'll have these blips to the upside, but the overall trend is still lower highs and lower lows in the dollar, and so for the foreseeable future, we're still locked in a downtrend there.
How do you foresee ethanol production facilities handling the ups and downs of the marketplace over the next year with $6 corn, $120 to $150 crude oil?
Well, yeah, it's going to be very challenging for them. And what a person doesn't know is what each plant has locked in as far as their inputs or as far as the sale of their products. And that may tell the real tale for each individual facility. But it'll also be interesting as new ones try to get built and come online. The financing of those, I would think that the bankers would definitely want to have a lot of hard, sound facts to help substantiate their projections for those new plants.
And give me 10 or 12 seconds. We're almost out of time. Diesel fuel, should producers be locking in diesel fuel needs, and how far ahead?
Well, we've all already locked in diesel fuel for the springtime. They're using that here now. We're looking for substantial breaks from here. If we can get it to lock in more for fall, we'll see if we get those opportunities.
Harry, thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is an energy analyst at GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. In just 2 minutes here on the Closing Market Report, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us. Stay with us.
It's National Crepe Suzette Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1833, Illinois blacksmith John Deere developed the first cast steel plow. Deere's plow was made of wrought iron and had a steel share that could cut through sticky soil without clogging. Deere's first steel plow sale was to a local farmer named Lewis Crandall. It wasn't long, though, before the plow was in huge demand. By 1855, John Deere's factory was selling over 10,000 steel plows a year. The steel plow made Deere a millionaire. In 1851, John Gorey patented an ice-making machine, the first U.S. patent for a mechanical refrigerator. Although the mechanism produced ice in quantities, leakage and irregular performance sometimes impaired its operation. Glory is considered by many the father of refrigeration and air conditioning. And in 1898, Daniel Gerber of baby food fame was born. But it was actually his wife, Dorothy, that was the genius behind prepared baby food. In 1927, she encouraged her husband to hand strain solid food for her 7-month-old daughter, Sally. After several evenings, Dorothy suggested to her husband that the work could easily be accomplished at the Gerber family's Fremont Canning Company. The rest is history. A year later, in 1928, strained peas, prunes, carrots, spinach, and beef vegetable soup were ready for the national market. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report, I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Beautiful weather here at the moment, but I'm told it may end.
Yeah, it certainly will. There's an area of low pressure that has brought some beneficial rains over the last 24 hours in some of the southern plains, some of the winter wheat country of Kansas, western Texas, and Oklahoma, picking up some needed rain. They're going to get more today, and that same system is going to make its way slowly east-northeast into the Corn Belt Midwest, bringing some real good chances of rain as we end in the next couple of days.
And then if you could take a look, we've heard that the systems is just the first of several that would roll through the Corn Belt over the next 2 weeks.
That's correct. We have systems spaced about every 2 days apart. They're starting in the Pacific Northwest, diving southeast into the central and southern Rockies, then heading east in the Midwest, picking up Gulf moisture as they head eastward. And we see this pattern lasting through this week, through the weekend, and probably through at least the first half of next week. So our 7 to 10 day forecast is calling for plenty of chances for precipitation all across, really, a good chunk of the nation. The only part of the nation dry would be the far west and southwest, and this will also lead to temperatures at or even a little below normal for many areas.
Cumulative rainfall out of those systems will keep producers out of the field, or is it hit and miss?
Well, I think there's a very good chance that producers may have some tough going with some muddy fields, especially over Missouri, central and southern sections of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. Those areas look to be the wettest, maybe not as wet in the northern and northwest Corn Belt. We don't see the rains as excessive, but consistently wet with something coming through every other day.
Now, the northern parts of Illinois, Iowa in general, are well behind where they ought to be. Some of Illinois is beginning to catch up. Maybe you could talk about that northern area and Iowa, whether they're going to be able to catch up in the next week, or are they still so wet and so sticky that they won't run?
Well, right now our forecast charts are showing that the bulk of the heaviest moisture is going to stay south of Iowa, but it doesn't show it missing Iowa, all of the rain. So there's going to be good chances of rain. If the storm shifts any further north, some of that heavier moisture in Missouri could move into Iowa, so they're still going to be wet. So while they may miss out on the heaviest stuff, it's still going to be slow going.
Other places around the globe we ought to be keeping tap on. How's China's growing season kicking off?
Well, they're going to be moist. Now, we don't see excessive moisture there, but at least in the next week, chances of rain all across China look to be pretty good. Temperatures around normal with a trend that gets a little bit drier towards next week.
And if I recall correctly, we haven't talked about them because there's been so much rainfall here. They started out the season a bit like us. They were wet. Did they have any dry time in there where they were able to get the crops in, do you know?
They had a little bit of dry time, longer than we've had, but they've also been fairly active and wet in many of the areas of China. So it's been quite analogous to what we've had here.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's your doer.
All right. Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That one happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website, by the way. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll be able to find all kinds of agricultural programming, including this program and one called Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at analysis of what happened in the world of agriculture. We take up markets for the entire half hour on Commodity Week. Airs on WILL AM 580, WTIM FM out of Taylorville, and WHOW out of Clinton. Clinton carries it at 8:30. TIM does not carry it yet, but we're hopeful that Randy Miller and company there will pick that program up too. Thanks for listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.